So today I've shared many funerals and officiated many, and some of the what we like to hear sometimes is the from John 14, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And at a funeral, we don't get the context of what he was doing. We say this, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, and there's one for me, and there's one for you. And if you listen to a man named Ray Vondelon, who's a very excellent Bible teacher, he tells us in those, the Jews would understand that this house, this mansion, that is being this room that's being built for us. And back in those days when you got married, there was that trial period. We talk about Mary and Joseph, and they didn't come together yet, but they're husband and wife for that year. And so they didn't live as husband and wife, but they were to be married. They were married legally. So that's why they stayed apart. What would you be doing in that year? He would be getting the place ready for her. Kind of nice, huh? Well, so it's the father, you'd have a father's house, but then they would build along. He'd be building for that year their place, next to dad's place, right? Because like today, it's hard to buy your own place. Can we all, God bless Jake, huh? When you go to buy a house, goodness gracious, my house cost $119,000, you know? And I'm this close to paying it off. Is that crazy or what? We're this close. And I'm old, you know? Jake's looking at $650, you know, for a... I'll sell you mine for $650. But then where will I live? With you, we'll build a little house. It's crazy, you know? And we know what we're doing, Robbie, right? We can help our kids out, but it's like, how? You still can't get... Ugh. Yeah. I blame realtors. It's not true. So this is what we say when we're graveside or we're with the bereaved, that you know there's a promise that Jesus says, when do you get to heaven? Which is our closing song. If I hurry up, we'll sing it. When we get there, there's going to be a room for us. It'll be like the room. It's what you did on earth, your rewards. And it's, you know, I think a crappy room in heaven is better than a nice place in hell, right? So we'll take it. I think mine will be nice. If not, Robbie, we can fix it up. We'll get Chuck to run the electric. You'll do the fine carpentry. We'll put Geraldine McEwen paintings all over the place. What a place it will be, right? And I'm not even close to starting my sermon yet. So we say these things, as I looked in the lectionary to see where we are, I was like, ooh, I don't know why is this here? Let's put it in context. We went through this Lenten season, and sometimes we don't have time to talk about what happened that night, the week of after Palm Sunday through the Good Friday and Easter Sunday. What happened? They had that dinner, and we talked about the dinner here. We had Spam, we had salad, and we had applesauce, you know, and you saw the cups. And Jesus said, here we are. They're at the Passover feast. Jesus calls them all together. It was just before the Passover feast in John 13. And Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and now he's going to return to God. So what's Jesus do? You know the end is coming. He knows that he has all the power of God in his hands, and what's he do with it? What does he do with all the power in the world? He gets on his knees, and he washes his disciples' feet. You know where I'm going with this? He submits to them. Ooh, doesn't he? He gets down, and he submits to us in this act of love. All right, ladies, people, are we good with this word now? Shelton, girls, we good with it? Candy still ain't. I got some persuading to do. So he gets on his knees, he takes off his outer clothing, he wraps a towel around his waist, and he kneels before them. He says, after that, he poured water into a basin, and he washes the disciples' feet. He dries them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He comes to Simon Peter, and Lord says, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus says, yes. You do not realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. And Peter says, no. You won't wash my feet. It's beneath you. And he says, you cannot have a part of me unless I get to do this for you. Simon, ever the exuberant one, is like, well, wash my whole body then. He gets a little crazy. Old Simon, he doesn't quite understand things, does he? Those who have a bath need only If you already had a bath, you only need to wash your feet. Why is that? Because you've taken a bath and then you walked to where you're going. They had those lousy shoes and they had dirty floors. And so they came in and now you just need to wash your feet. You're clean. You're clean if you've had a bath, but not every one of you. There's one of you here and you know who it is, the one that's going to betray him. He says, no servant's greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who was sent by him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do. And we know about this betrayal that Judas gets up and he goes to tell the Pharisees and the guard where Jesus will be. Jesus says, my children, I will be with you only a little bit longer in verse 33. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now where I'm going, you can't come. As a new command I give you, he says, remember this, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asks him, says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus says, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you'll come later. And Peter says, I want to follow you right now. I'll lay down my life. And Jesus says to him, you won't do that. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. One second, he wants his whole body washed. The second one, he says, I'll lay down for him. But we know what happens when the cock crows. Peter is nowhere to be found. We turn the page to John 14. Jesus is continuing to talk to them. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in me also. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I will take you with me so that you may also be where I am. And you know the way to the place where I am going. You know how to get there. You know the way. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? We've got to love Thomas, right? He's the one that won't believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead unless he sees him for himself. He's the one that's exuberant, says, I will follow you. Real quick, how old's Thomas, you think? We see this man that doesn't quite understand things. How old is he? Is he like a 40-year-old respectable guy? How old is he? And how do you know? Well, I'll tell you. You guys ready for some Bible trivia? He's under 20 years old. You over 20? You're older than the disciples, right? These guys are less than 20. How do you know? Because you see there in Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus goes to pay the temple tax, who does he have to pay for? Himself and Peter. Why is that? Only he's got the other 11 with him. They don't have to pay. Kids eat free because they're under 20. See? He's under 20. He's trying to understand this. So all of them, they don't get it, do they? But they're trying. Look how long we've been around. We still don't get the Bible, right? Where you're going, and how can we know the way? How do we know the way to follow you to get to heaven? Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am life. You've heard that before, haven't we, Jen? No one comes through the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you will know my Father too. From now on, you do know the Father because you have seen him. I and the Father are one, right? Jesus says, I am the way. What is the way? And we're not talking about Star Wars. You know that little, the Mandalorians follow the way. Has anyone else watched this nerdy stuff like me? No? Okay, we'll skip that. The way. How do we get there? God says to Moses, you shall not turn to the right or to the left, but you shall walk in the way that the Lord God has commanded you, in the rules that we have, in the precepts. I know after my death you will surely act corruptly, Moses says to the people, and you'll turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. Isaiah says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. You'll hear it from God, and the psalmist says, teach me your way, O Lord, right? I am the truth. Teach me thy way, O Lord, that I may walk in the truth, the psalmist says, 86. 119 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Jesus says, I am the life. Proverbs says, the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the ways of life. He who heeds instruction is on the path to life, says Proverbs, right? I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. No one gets through the Father except through me. There are many ways to get to heaven, people like to say out in the real world, isn't there? There's other ways. Your truth is not my truth. What's the truth? What does it say? There's one way, right? There's only one way to get to heaven. That's through the Father. Philip says, I want to see the Father. Show him to me. That'll be enough. Can we just see him? Moses wanted to see God face to face. And what did God say? It'll destroy you. You go behind a rock and I'll simply pass by you. That's all you can handle. It's just the backside, the presence of me. That's all you can handle. Don't you know, Philip, that even after I've been with you for this long time, these 3 years, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak on my authority, I speak on His. The Father's living in me. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. We can stop there, can't we? Have you seen it? Have you felt God in your life yet? I could sit here and read all day and maybe not change anyone's heart today. And I'm sure not doing it Saturday. I'm going to read the script. That's what they hired me to do. Read the script. And I'm going to do that. And I could talk all day, but what's it say? Don't you see the works? At my mother's funeral, let me tell you what. They filled that place. They filled my mother's house the night before. There were cars there for hours. Now we gathered together in fellowship till 3 a.m. That's a little long, isn't it, Gail? We kept going. Next day, got to be at there 10:00. Everyone's walking into the, what a mess. But what I saw was so many people came and lifted me up. And it had to be because of Jesus. I can't explain it any other way. Night after night, people would call me, come out to dinner. For 3 weeks, I didn't cook a meal. You know, I like cooking. I didn't do anything because I was lifted. It's like I was floating for 3 weeks because of people who knew Jesus. That's all I can say. The experience. I felt it for myself. And you guys do it too. People come here, they're mourning outside, and they come inside and get some time together, get a hot meal, get a place of fellowship, of rest. And you guys do it here all the time, and it's amazing. Don't you believe the evidence of the works? Haven't you seen it? That's what you need. You don't need to see him. I am him, Jesus says. You're looking right at him. Don't you see? And we take him, and we want him out of our lives. We don't want him on our wedding day. We don't want to submit. Get over yourselves. I'm a little fired up this week. Submit to the Lord. Jesus submits to his Father. It's better than what? Submitting to the world? You all right with this? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your love. We thank you for the words of truth. We thank you for this time of communion. We thank you for the gift of we take the bread and we take the cup and we come together to do this altar with a repentant heart. We come as one people. Amen.